Mary Roach has written an informative and funny book about dead bodies. It's called Stiff. She observes in the introduction that this book is not about death, as in dying, which is sad and profound. This book is about the already dead, the anonymous, behind-the-scenes dead. Stiff is a book about cadavers. Mary Roach, first, what inspired you to write a book about the subject?
Well, it began for me on an airplane. I was sitting next to a gentleman talking. This gentleman had a job at a place that designs crash test dummies, and he began to talk about the early days of crash test dummies, and that in fact, in order to calibrate the dummies, that they had to do some impact work on actual human cadavers. In other words, there were human crash test dummies in the very beginning. And I sort of looked into it a little more and found out that there's this whole workforce of behind-the-scenes dead people doing good deeds for humanity, and the ball sort of got rolling from there. And
you eventually went and wrote about these crash test, not dummies, but crash test cadavers.
Yes.
And what exactly is the advantage of having a corpse in the car when it crashes into the wall as opposed to one of those cobbled together things that look like people?
The crash test dummies are great for measuring the actual force of an impact, but unless you know exactly how much force a body can take in an accident, the information is meaningless. You need to know the limits of the human body, in other words, and then you can design a dummy that will tell you, oh, you've exceeded those limits, better take a look at this car and do something about it.
And in this case, the cadavers were a great relief to the graduate students, I guess.
Exactly. Well, actually, there actually were some researchers in the early phases who rode the crash sleds and had their knees slammed and did all these things themselves. But after a certain point, you definitely want to get some dead people in there.
Which, of course, raises the question, how does one, posthumously, of course, become a crash test cadaver?
Aha. Alas, you can't actually specify what you want to go into. And this was disappointing to me because I had in mind that I would be the skeleton hanging in an anatomy lab classroom.
A contribution to,
yes,
to
exactly.
Wisdom and science.
You know, exactly, and being sort of picturesque and hanging on the wall there. But unless you have very good connections, you basically go where you're needed.
But you do say that it's a tradition among anatomy professors that they should donate their bodies to science.
And yes, that's right. But when you donate your body to science, you are going where the university decides to send you. You may go to an anatomy lab. I think about 80% of cadavers go to anatomy lab dissection. But you may end up in some very interesting research project. You may end up in an impact test, although those are not done so often anymore.
Well, the most common would be the anatomy lab.
Yes.
And you went to look at an anatomy lab.
I did indeed. I'd heard a lot of stories about shenanigans in anatomy labs, you know, people jumping rope with intestines or putting cigarettes in the mouths, et cetera. But the universities have come a long way in instilling respect and dignity among their students. Unless they were very well briefed for my visit.
Yes, you mentioned that everyone was at their best behavior.
That journalist is coming. Everybody, hide the cigarettes. No, they were actually very, very respectful. And it was interesting to see the impact it had on them. They actually have memorial services at a lot of medical schools for the remains. Obviously not an open casket situation, but all the students go, they write poetry, they compose songs. And the people actually get choked up and are very emotional.
And as you point out, the actual odds of somebody in the anatomy class actually recognizing a cadaver, The odds are infinitesimally long against that, but it actually has happened.
The anatomy professor whose lab I visited said that twice in his 25-year career had there been a situation where a student recognized a cadaver.
A cadaver becomes an it. It becomes an object. It's no longer a he or a she.
That's absolutely true, and it was surprising to me how, upon seeing these bodies, it should be a very emotional experience and very upset. I mean, I expected to be more affected by it, but I think because they were anonymous and because everyone else was just sort of treating them as though they were basically tissue, that yes, in fact, they do become objects and not people.
Now, being put to the purposes of medical education might mean letting a first-year anatomy student learn what a real liver feels like or do dissection, but it could also be a head in a mid-career seminar or master class in facelifting,
right,
which you
That's
ordered.
Right. in order to make the best use of a donated body, they're parceled out. In other words, if you have a professor who's teaching a facelift refresher course, well, the head might go to this particular seminar. In fact, the heads that I visited, there were 40 of them, the heads had the previous Monday been in the rhinoplasty lab, so they had already...
They had great noses.
And then they went on to the facelift portion of the seminar. So nothing is wasted. If you've ever felt undervalued as a human being, I would recommend donating your body because everyone wants a piece of you. You're very popular.
You've written a funny book about this subject, which is one nice way of dealing with the whole idea of a book about what happens to human remains. Did you find that people actually do engage in a lot of humor about dead bodies as they're working with them, or is it a more reverential mood?
They would make reference to there being a sort of appropriate humor for coping with bodies, but they did not engage in it when I was around.
Uh-huh.
And I certainly can understand why they didn't. But there was a moment in the brain bank where there was this technician who was slicing a frozen brain, and there were little shards of brain that had fallen onto the lab counter, and they very quickly thawed, and he took a paper towel to wipe up these little shards, and he grinned, and he said, "There goes third grade," which I thought he got in a lot of trouble for that comment because I quoted him, and the director of the brain bank was very unhappy because she
don't
felt
make
the,
jokes
yes,
like that.
Exactly,
at the brain bank,
exactly. I think it's almost a necessary thing if you're in this line of work.
How long actually were you primarily reporting about dead bodies? Not just the writing, but for how long did this preoccupy you?
Throughout a year.
And did you feel particularly odd or morbid much
yeah.
of the time, or have strange dreams or anything?
Mostly, you know, when people would say, "Oh, you're writing a book. What's it about?" And people, you know, people want to be happy for you when you're writing the book, and they want to have something nice to say. And I'd say, "Oh, it's about cadavers." And then there'd be this sort of awkward silence, and I'd have to kind of explain, and they're sort of looking at me askance. And in fact, there was this one moment at the UCSF Medical School Library,
University of California,
yes,
San Francisco.
Yes, exactly. I was checking out some books, and the guy had my record up on the computer, and I knew what books I had out. They were things like The Chemistry of Death, Gunshot Injuries, The Principles and Practice of Embalming. And he didn't say anything. Then I handed him the book that I had to check out, and that was the 9th Annual STAP Car Crash Conference Proceedings. And, you know, I just knew he was thinking, "You're just some kind of sicko, aren't you? Why do we leave library cards to people like you?"
Well,
so it was a little awkward.
Well, thanks for following through with the project nonetheless.
Well, you're
very
welcome.
And for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Mary Roach, the author of Stiff, The Curious Lives of Human Cadavers.